Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful.
And pie-filled.
Oh, yes. Old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I am happier than Oprah on a baked ham.
Oh, why?
Oh, she loves her baked ham.
Well, who doesn't?
I'm not really.
I love me a canned ham.
Nah, I'm more into spam.
Well, we know that.
Spam.
Are you going to tell us?
Nope.
Okay, fine. Yo, we didn't have a podcast last week.
Some days I can just be happy. You know, you eat these magic brownies and the walls are bleeding again.
Oh, Minnesota, they got it done?
No, not legally, anyways.
You had to leave the state?
I did. Just like to get booze on Sunday, I had to go to Wisconsin.
Ah. Well, we didn't have a podcast last week.
Nope. We tried, just didn't work.
And I sat down on Thanksgiving to talk to my friend Colt Cabana about how after we recorded the last podcast, I went in your office and I said that I was hurt. And I needed surgery on my knees, and I probably had a concussion.
And you had a purple pussy thing on your back.
Yeah, and you gave me a hug and said, that's okay. And then 3 days later, you texted me and said, are you ready to record again, pal? And I said, Joe, I put out 6 podcasts in 2 weeks. What more do you want from me? More podcasts. That's what I want from you.
Slacker.
Or you're fired.
And I waited till you're on your way to Illinois. To fire you.
Yeah.
That's the way we roll. In case you didn't catch the allusions we're making over the Thanksgiving weekend, one of our favorite wrestlers, CM Punk, well, he's not a wrestler anymore, but he broke his silence. And he...
On one of my favorite podcasts,
yep,
by the way.
And it went off in the wrestling world anyways, like a pipe bomb.
Which he hates hearing that phrase now.
Okay, then we won't call it that. A IED. Which is a phrase I hate hearing, but that's a different subject. So, and I was working, and it ranged from Thanksgiving Day, where it was like, okay, I'm pretty much just babysitting this damn checkpoint, to, you know, the so-called busiest days of the year, where it was like busy up till 4 o'clock and then nothing. Of course, we have a smaller terminal, so it's, you know, probably not like Midway, where they had that 1.2-mile line trying to get into the place. Still haven't heard what the hell happened over there. But that was pretty much it. Thanksgiving was kind of a non-Thanksgiving. I brought my traditional White Castles to work, which everybody was grateful for.
There you go.
And when I left home, Chris was just starting to cook. And when I got back at about 10:30, everything was cleaned up. It was like it never happened. It never happened. Although I did get some pumpkin pie. So I was happy. And Joe was happy.
I drove down to Illinois.
Let's make this clear. We're not talking the 6-hour Chicago end of Illinois.
No, this is a 6.5-hour Peoria end, yeah. Actually Galesburg.
Yep.
And I only have one story that I will relate because it is comic related. I was in Galesburg on Black Friday, and if you go to your map, go to your Google map and take a look at Galesburg, you'll see, wow, did a bomb actually go off in that town? No, it just looks that way.
How's that comic?
But there were 2 comic shops in town last time I was there.
And now?
Now there's one, but one of them I didn't know if it was a comic shop or not, because it closed. As a comic shop, it closed. And if you followed on its Facebook, the owner was quite sad and kept apologizing, and it got a little maudlin. And then he opened it up a few months later as a gaming store called For the Win, except if you look at the sign, it says Alternate Realities still. Mm-hmm. So it's Black Friday, Joe. What's Black Friday?
It depends on what city you're in.
Busiest shopping day of the year, right?
Could be. We did our shopping on Wednesday, so we didn't enjoy that.
Okay, so, but if you owned a store day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he had a handwritten sign on the door with his hours, the 11 to 8 on Fridays. I went by at noon, and the sign was there, but the store was closed, no one was in there, and no lights were on.
Hmm.
So I went down the block to the other shop that was still a comic shop, but also a used bookstore called Stone Arch Books. And last time I was in there, they were the one that had the printing plates
mm-hmm.
on the wall. They're still there, by the way. No one has bought them. They said they were in the process of moving, which is good because they've outgrown that store by a lot. It's probably about the size of your small store.
Mm.
And stuff is crammed in there. Boxes are, they have like a regular hallway. That's the main store.
Mm.
And then a little side room that was probably storage for whatever the store was before, but now that's where they keep the new comics. And it was a jumbled mess with boxes here, and you'd try to look through the boxes, and it would, all the comics were bagged and boarded. All of them. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to take a look, they said, oh, bring it up to the front and we'll open it for you. And I always dislike that. I really always dislike that. I want to be able to look through, you know, the back issues I can understand, but the new comics, I want to be able to flip through. I couldn't figure out what order they were in. Then the books from a few months ago that weren't on the shelf anymore were just in boxes, not in any order at all. And the back issues, you had to move boxes to get to them. So I really hope they move, because if set up like that, you're not going to get people looking through your stuff.
It's not going to happen.
I went back by alternate realities around 1:30. Still not open.
Mm-hmm.
On the busiest shopping day of the year. So I have a feeling in a few months, there will be a number
apology.
Of Facebook posts. I'm sorry, I tried as best I could. No, you didn't. You need to be open when your sign says you're open.
Yes.
I don't know about other states, but I know here in Minnesota, they actually put a little thing up, because there's a state law that the doors must remain open during posted business hours. But that's not why we're here.
No.
We're here to talk about the war.
Yep. The war on trees. And we're going to convert as many trees into comics as possible.
Oh, I thought we were going to do Alice's Restaurant.
No.
Which, Joe, do you know how that became a Thanksgiving tradition, that song is played on classic rock radio for Thanksgiving?
I usually don't listen to classic rock radio on Thanksgiving.
Well, I was flipping through channels while driving down to Illinois, and like four or five of the channels were all playing that song. And I like the song. It's a fun song. It's not one I want to hear all the time. It's good once a year. But I wonder when it became the tradition that on Thanksgiving, we play the song Alice's Restaurant.
And
I still don't know.
Oh. Well, that was
I was curious and asking you.
I don't know. Well, that's not true. See, I have in my hand this piece of paper with 47 words, 57 cents. I want no detail, crime time, like ending in reverse and off sudden. I can go on for 45 minutes and no one will understand a word that I said. Still, we had fun playing with the pencils on the bench. And
you know what we do know?
What's that?
We know about these guys, our sponsors. This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them? Where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again. Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore, no more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call and leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a good, I just slid right into that.
You did.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Anything you want to tell us about?
Nope, nope. I have to wait till the indictment is unsealed.
Oh, nothing about spring.
Nope.
And the Minnesota State Fairgrounds.
Well, I figure since it's not on their website, I don't know why we should be hawking it.
It's on their website. You just got to look for it.
Well, no, it should be right up front page first.
Well, I agree with that.
But we'll talk about that later, like in May sometime.
Okay. But none of you have any excuse not to show up at whatever we're not going to talk about. Joe, what were we talking about last time?
We were filling our imaginary comic shop with comics.
Comical books?
Yeah. And we only got through like half the previews in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty standard for when I used to order comics. When we first started, Pat and I, with Hot Comics, it was like we had to physically turn in the order to Cap City on Wednesday. So Thursday, we would have everybody over, sometimes Monday, and we'd order pizza, and we would just talk about comic books. We did that for a couple months, and it usually, you know, a couple guys would be like, nah, don't order that, that's crap. Other people would be like, ah, we ordered that, that's good. Eventually.
No matter what it was, Brian Wilson, you shouldn't order that. It's shit.
Never sell.
Eventually. Unless it was something about, Lois Lane, then, order for the shelf.
Eventually, it just became Pat and I doing it. I would do kind of the prep work on Saturday, basically take all the preview orders, tally them up, figure out who ordered what. I always tell the story about that's how we discovered She, because it kind of went over my head, went over Pat's head, but we had like 20 people order it. So we ordered some for the shelf, and we ended up being like one of the only comic stores in town that had it, because it became red hot. A lot of times, we'd have our history right in front of us, so we'd know if, you know, barring a special event, we had sold 2 copies. Unless it was a book we wanted as a back issue, we might cut it to 1, might save it at 2. And eventually, when Pat left, it became just me. And what I would do is on Sunday, before the order was due, and it changed because it went from turning it into Cap City to emailing it into Cap City to emailing it into Diamond. You could basically upload it as a file. So a lot of it ended up being online, which was nice because it gave you an extra week to play with things as opposed to having to physically mail in an order book. But when it became just me, what I would do is I would, get all the numbers off the computer for people who, you know, just had pull lists. I would, put those numbers in one part of the order book, and I'd take all the previews and I'd put together, previews. Special orders, who wanted like 1 copy of this or special order this, things like that. Then I would sit down and have everything tallied out. Monday, I would go to the comic store And with my, I had a big three ring binder full of the history of almost every title that actually hit the shelf. So I knew not only what would sell in the first week, but if it would sell beyond that, worth stocking more than one. I tracked things up to 8 weeks. I also had a section in back for irregular titles that would like come out, sell, be super hot, and then never come out again. And, it would take me a good 12 hours to do the order just to get everything together. So for you to listen for 2 hours on our podcast, you're doing good.
Well, we did cut it in two.
Well, and a lot of
things, made it a little easier.
A lot of things too, where, you know, if it's a book that's been out before, we will have a history on it. And, you know, we went over a lot of it, and we might have gone over your favorite book just by saying, whatever the history said. However, in the next comic publisher we are going to venture into, that probably won't work too well. Image Comics, I'm looking at you. Image is riding high right now on a lot of number ones with various qualities, a lot of interest. It seems Walking Dead kind of spurred them back into publishing more, what'd you say, creative-owned, independent-owned comics?
Well, they've always supposedly been creator-owned, but after the superhero boom and bust of the 90s, in order to, they had to have a certain percentage of books in order to remain a premier publisher with Diamond, which means you're in the front of the catalog. So they brought in a lot of self-published stuff, and they brought in a lot of creator-owned stuff. And over the years, they've kind of become the creator-owned area for not just people who are, you know, indie artists or people who are just starting out. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is how you're getting the guy, the big name Marvel guys, Hickman, Brubaker, Greg Rucka. They've kind of moved all their stuff, including their stuff from Icon, back to Image or over to Image. Simply because all Image is now is kind of a publishing consortium. You go to them, you set up your deal, they handle the putting you in the catalog and setting you up with your printer, but you pay all the costs and you get to keep the profits, which is why Robert Kirkman is one of the richest men in comics.
Yeah, they don't take a percentage. They pretty much, it's almost like a broker deal almost.
Yeah. And I would say that really over the past 5-6 years, they've really come into their own as the place where you go if you want to do creator-owned stuff, no matter what it is. Most of the other small publishers, which I'll get into later, are publishing media tie-in stuff. Fantagraphics really only does books. There really isn't anyone else who's kind of doing the creator-owned thing like Image is. And it's really helped them out. If you would have told me 20 years ago that Image would become my favorite publisher, I would have asked for what kind of hooch you were drinking and what kind of drugs you were taking.
Hooch.
But, yeah, they're good.
But the big thing with Image, and I mean, I don't have a lot of notes for it because right now as Image is set up, I would pretty much look at pre-orders. You know, if you are using a previews, you'd hand me in an order pack or you'd tell me, hey, put this on my list. And depending on how excited I am about the comic, I order 5 to 10 copies of the number ones for the shelf. And I would probably do that through, you almost have to do it through the third issue because that would give you kind of a selling history and whether or not the comic has some legs to get going. And I'm just looking here. The only one that I had, there's only about 3 comics I have I've made notes for on, Image. And the other thing with Image too is you gotta be careful because some months the publisher or the, I shouldn't say Image per se, but the person publishing the comic will skip a month. So you may have a copy of Bitch Planet 1 this month, but you won't have it next month, but you have it the month after that. So you have to go back 2 or 3 months in your order history to see, did I actually order that comic? Because I don't have a history on it yet of it actually getting on the shelf and selling. So for the most part, most number one Image right now, it's almost like a small, very small version of what I did when Image first was. Image, Spawn 300 copies. Wildcat 300 copies. Don't even think about it. Just order it. Same thing with the independents. Just 5-10 copies. If I get stuck with them, I'll always bring them to Comic Cons where you usually liquidate stuff at ridiculous prices. You could do like I caught Big Brain doing with somebody. They slap their name sticker on the cover and they just put it on the freebie rack. You know, they do that with a lot of Vertigo titles, some oversell superhero titles. Just people can pick them up. I mean, I got a whole half a long box of comic books that are just freebies I picked up from Big Brain that they just, you know, took a loss on it, made a promotional item out of it. Some of the titles I read and I go, wow, that's pretty cool. Other ones I'm like, meh.
If you look in your order form, most of the first part of Image is their trade paperbacks and the books they are pushing very, very hard. So you got Casanova, which is Return to Image.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it would sell about what it sold when it was at Marvel, but you've also got the hardcovers and the trade paperbacks of the series up till now. So you'd have a good idea of how it sells over time, but I would also make sure, all right, when this book comes in, Matt Fraction, still kind of a hot writer. Here's the three books. Here's the new series. Dying in the Dead is the new one by Hickman.
And that's the one I had a note on where I would actually try to alert the people who are reading Avengers that, hey, here's him doing it on his own. You might get people crossover. Could be just something on the wall where I'll put a copy of Avengers, maybe the Fantastic Four. You like this? Check out The Dying and the Dead. Try to get some people interested in it. I definitely probably would have promoted it in an email newsletter just to let people know, hey, it's coming. Is it something you want? Put on your list. And I might order a little heavier on this one, but the only thing really against it is that it's a $4.50 book, and I can't see people dropping $4 for Avengers necessarily going for it. But I'm willing to give it a chance. See, a big thing with a lot of the Image books, I find, is people aren't picking them up until, like, a couple issues have come out, and then they want to go back and find them.
Yes.
And consequently, there's been a lot of titles like Sex Criminal, Sex, Black Science, that have caught on after long after the first issue was sold out. So you'll see some second prints. And Image is sharper on that than they used to be. So there will be a second print if it's warranted. And definitely when the trade paperback comes out, that'll be some promotion. The next one in the title is one of the long running books, Spawn. And it's featuring, they're at number 250. And the big thing is that they're bringing back the original Spawn as L. Simmons. Maybe a couple extra for the shelf. Weird thing about this one is it's got a ton of variant covers with it.
Oh.
And, you know, a couple for the shelf, you know, probably more with Todd. You know, and they've got a lot of artists doing it. I mean, they got Greg Capullo from Batman. They got, Scotty Young from Rocket Raccoon, Sean Murphy from The Wake. Doing variant covers. I mentioned The Wake because I just got the hardcover in my box today, but we'll talk about that later. So I'd look at, well, first of all, I think some of these covers are variant covers where you have to order certain to get certain. At least I seem to remember that when I went through my order. But I would also look at, okay, if I sell 10 copies of Spawn, I'm not likely to sell 50 copies because everybody's going to want variants. And when I first had Hot Comics, it was that way. You knew people would buy every single variant, especially if it was cover price. So I would probably look at, okay, I'm going to put 10 copies out, but I'm going to make sure it's a mixture of these. Like, so maybe 2 to 3 copies of the regular price ones, and then see if I get the variants, if I can afford to get them. So you get a good chance of getting them if you wanted them. And if somebody came up to me ahead of time and said, hey, I want the Sean Murphy one, if it was an expensive one, I'd try to, you know, say, well, I can get it to you for this price, or try to make it a deal out of it. But I definitely would make, this would probably be the blurb. I'd probably take one of the Spawn toys that is floating around the shop and put it up and say, hey, look, Al Simmons back. Yay. Make a fun little display with it.
I think, well, first I look at all the variants, and it's very much a good Lord. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And they weren't all cover price variants. They were order this and you get that.
Well, what? The black and white ones, you have to order a number of copies. So the 10 copy, you get a black and white cover from Jock. 25 copies, you get a black and white cover from Capullo. 50 copies, you get a black and white cover from Todd McFarlane. And you think, oh, that would be the top one. No, no, no. It's the, you order 100 copies, you get the Scotty Young black and white variant.
And this is a $6 book.
Yeah.
So you're talking, what is it, 100 copies, $600,
yep.
Half price, $300 just to get that. Now, when I had the big shop, our Spawn, we sold 87 Spawn or so a month. So I would probably, I could easily gotten that $100 one. The smaller shop, Crazy Comics, I barely sold one or two off the shelf. So I'd probably be down in the 10. I think I had 20 people down for Spawn. That's out of a subscriber base of about 60 people. So yeah, you know, again, we're the big store. We're going to order them all. Maybe even do, you know, we could even do a special on this. Like if people get to 250, buy it for half price. You know, just try to cost it out. We'll make our money on the variant somehow. You know, we don't do that enough. You know, we've talked over the various podcasts, different things I would do. Like, especially if a series has ended, hey, half price everything. Goodbye. Goodbye, She-Hulk, for the third time. All She-Hulk comics, half price. But at number ones, you know, sometimes we try to, we've done different things. Like there was a few I remember we say, try it. If you don't like it, bring it back. Most people didn't. I think I've only had about a dozen people bring comics back when I had Hot Comics. Most people were just like, I tried it, throw it out. The next one in Image is, I can't even pronounce that. Or Aphrodite 9, so 9th generation.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, order it how you order it.
And it's just called 9th generation.
Yeah. I was going to say X, but... next one, Rain. That's like I said, I'd probably 5-10 copies depending on pre-orders.
The next one, if I were involved in the store, I would kind of push you to order more because Criminal is a book that I love and I push. I push this book hard. If you see afterward, the Criminal trade paperback is now at Image. And once they sell out through Marvel, they're going to pop up over at Image. They're also pushing the Fatale paperbacks, and Fatale was a great series.
Oh, would you order the magazine size variant?
Yes, because I picked up the, I can't think of what their new series is. I can't think of the name, but I picked up the magazine variant of it. And what it is, it's, magazine size, but it also has articles on crime fiction and people who write crime fiction. It's worth it. And I would actually tell people, look, buy the magazine one instead. Buy the magazine one instead. But this is a book that I would be pushing really hard. And one of the things about a shop is if you know you're going to be pushing a book hard, you order more of it because your enthusiasm, it's not going to work every time, but your enthusiasm will bring sales up. Joe talked in the last episode about how G.I. Joe and Transformers books always sold for him because Joe loves G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Well, I love Transformers, but we sold a snot load of G.I. Joe toys and Transformers. So that was something that, you know, And then we'll be talking about that when we edge into Marvel too. Now, the only other thing I've got down is, big hard sex criminals. Bet you didn't think I'd say that ever in my life. And that basically.
No, I kind of knew you'd say
that's
that.
That's basically a $40 hardcover. They're doing, Image is doing a lot like Marvel in DC. If it's a book that sells well, they'll do a hardcover before they do a trade paperback. Although in this case, they went the other way around. They did have a trade paperback out, and now they're doing the hardcover.
Yeah.
So I'd order a couple of those. You know, it's only a $40 hardcover. Most of the time, the rest of the titles, we'd have a history on. Walking Dead might be one I'd want probably go long on, just try to keep them on the shelf. And the other one I would do is Savage Dragon. Not necessarily because it sold well. Even when I had the little shop, it always kind of, it had its people who would buy it, but I never seemed to sell one off the shop. But I like Eric Larson. I like that he stuck with the book as long as he did. Todd, I'm looking at you. And everybody else at Image, I'm looking at you. Jim Lee, I see you hiding behind the new 52. I'm looking at you.
Actually, I see Jim Lee hiding behind a stack of money bigger than my house.
Maybe so. But the point is, Eric stuck with his book like he said he would. And what I would do is just, I'd put five for the shelf. Whether I sold them or not, don't care. That's just kind of, you get that way with certain creators you like. I mean, when Pete Krause did his artwork in the various books, I always made sure to order a few on the shelf just for Pete, you know. Might not sell them, but I want to support them that way. And that's how I feel about Savage Dragon, whether it's sold or not. Everybody else, cut. Never last, never sell. Are there any other Image titles, Corey, you see that you'd go the extra mile on?
The only one that I see that's coming out that I would really go the extra mile on is Prophet Earth War. Now, we would have a history, but Prophet is one of the best books being published today. Beautiful art, fascinating story. This is another one like Criminal where order more, I'm going to be pushing it.
Well, it's also,
now, the problem is this is the third issue.
And it's a miniseries. But
it's
again,
wrapping up the run. Basically, they're doing a six-issue miniseries to wrap up the run that started about a year and a half ago.
I want to make sure that even if you're on issue three, that I would have ones and twos, so you could pick it up and read along with it.
Yep.
Image, sadly, doesn't have anything fun to play with. No action figures, no T-shirts. They're there, and as long as they're in stock, I would open them. I would get them. But nothing to geek on this month. Sorry, Charlie. That being said, are we ready to move into Marvel?
Yes, we are, Pepper Boy.
Oh. There is going to be a Star Wars release party with a Star Wars variant for comic stores doing a Star Wars release party. We would be having such a Star Wars release party, they would probably have to call the cops on us. Hot Comics has always been a big Star Wars supporter. When Dark Horse came out with Dark Empire, we were ecstatic. I mean, there was no Star Wars property. It was just one of those, it's a movie. It was over with already. But we read it. We were selling probably one of the only places in town you could go to buy the vintage toys before. And when they started to come out again, we were on top of that as well. So we would be all over Star Wars. We would have all the variants. We would have the special variant Star Wars release party. And we would have one hell of a good time the day that comic came out. I mean, we're talking, let's do cake. Let's do hot dogs in the back. Let's have some prizes, I'm sure. Well, maybe take some of the rare variants, the higher ones, and do a drawing for that. And drawings are fun because not only, you know, you get – people involved and get a shot at one of the rare books, but it also is a great way to capture names, addresses, and emails. And then, you know, cause that's usually anytime you want to have a fun party like this, you got to alert people by email or maybe even do a physical card. You know, we were talking earlier about Black Friday. You know, we always had a Black Friday event and I would send out, I put ads in the paper, which may or may not be that good anymore. But, you know, you definitely promote it on Facebook. We'd actually do a physical mailing. And, you know, when Star Wars 1 is back at Marvel, you know, we're going to have a star orgy with it.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 covers.
15,
now, here's
15. Remember the one you only get if you're doing a Star Wars release party. It was not orderable. You have to go to the comic store and get it.
And then there is one that Discount Comic Book Service is selling for $1,250 that has an actual drawing by Joe Quesada on the cover.
Yep.
Star Wars, Marvel is going to push this to the moon.
Oh, you know it.
And the trailer dropped on Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving.
And the Lego version dropped the day after, and the George Lucas enhanced version dropped the day after that.
And people are hungry for Star Wars.
People are bitching
about
the lightsaber.
Which is weird because Star Wars Rebels started, which is a fairly good show. I never hear anything about it.
And people are bitching already about the lightsaber, and Stephen Colbert weighed in and told them to shut up. I mean, it's they've got the ball rolling on this. And the best part is before the movie even comes out, you know, we would be positioned because we've got the toys, we've got the vintage toys, we've got, I mean, we would order this so heavy, it'll always be there. My goal with Star Wars 1 would be the same, and I don't recall if we ever talked about this in the early days of the podcast, it would be the same as Ultimate Spider-Man. I want that on my shelf forever. I want people to come in and say, what can I pick up here? Star Wars. I would have ordered the Dark Horse stuff before it disappears. You know, I mean, we would be all over this baby, and we would just, it would be a blast. I'm even just looking at what I ordered. I mean, I ordered the Star Wars 1, I ordered the action figure variant, and I ordered the movie variant. And I beg him that hopefully that the source will have a Star Wars release party, because I want to go get me that Jackson the Rabbit cover.
Yes.
So we would definitely, yeah, we're definitely going to have a Star Wars release party, and we are going to have a bit of fun.
The other thing about it is one of the things that Marvel did wrong with Star Wars, that eventually the same thing happened with Dark Horse, but they seem to be correcting it here, is after a while a licensed book becomes, well, let's not put our top talent on it. Let's get the new guy, or let's get the guy who's under contract who we don't have a book for. Or over at Dark Horse, you know, Brian Wood came in and he started doing the new Star Wars series, and it really sold well. But on all the other books, it was, you know, Joe Brony and a bunch of other people you don't know. And eventually people go, well, I don't know the creators. And if you get a couple of bad books, people are going to go, if I don't know who's doing it, I'm not going to spend the money anymore. So the fact that they got John Cassaday drawing it, Jason Aaron writing it, let's hope, and with Disney behind it now, let's hope Marvel is smart enough to go, we need to keep our top talent on this book.
And we've talked a bit in the past about how Disney is more of a horizontal company. So unlike Warner Brothers, where if Star Wars was with DC Comics, they would have a tough time getting anybody else interested in doing any kind of promotion. Whereas Disney works vertical, so you know they're going to have a big tie-in. Maybe not necessarily with the comic book, but by the time Star Wars hits, if you're going to have to be under a rock to not know that Star Wars is coming. I mean, geez, look at the buzz they made just by releasing that. What was that, 30-second trailer? 60? I mean,
It was a minute and a half, and it's what they call a teaser.
Yeah,
trailer.
It was, and you know, people are just analyzing the thing to bejesus. You'd think it was like an alien saying, hi, Earth, how you doing? Because people are going crazy over it. Corey, how would you order Ant-Man and Squirrel Girl and Wolverine's one?
With Wolverine's, once again, a whole bunch of whole bunch of variants, and it's a weekly book, it looks like. I would wonder how well the Death of Wolverine did. I know that it's sold a lot of copies to shops, but by this point, we would know how well it did. And the other thing is, this is like all the Wolverine side characters. So I think it, number one, might be a big book, but it's going to drop really fast.
I would,
which could be why they're doing it weekly.
I would probably pull one of these for everybody that was down for Wolverine and they give them an advance warning. So if they did want to pull out, they could. And this is one of those things, like if you had somebody down for Wolverine, I probably would have pulled Death of Wolverine for them automatically. But any of the other ones, I might have just given them an alert and said, hey, you know, do you want the legacy? Do you not want this? Wolverines, I'd be tempted just to pull the number ones for them. And, you know, if they decided they didn't want it, fine. We'll just put it back. Not a big deal. But, again, depending on the pre-orders, you know, there's a lot of variants. We'd be all over the variants. Now, Corey, the thing with the variants, would you want to do like the source does and just kind of, with the exception of the ultra expensive ones, just kind of cycle them through to your regular readers and let them, you know, have a crack at them? Or do you think we'd be better off just, hey, this was a more expensive book, we'll put it up and let people go at it that way?
I think you should calculate what the extra cost of the variant is, decide what your profit's going to be, and go from that. Let's say for this book, I need to order 10 copies. Okay, so how much did I have to pay extra? If I had to pay $5 extra, it's a $10 book, because most of your other comics are a 50% markup. If someone requested a variant cover, we would order what is needed for the variant cover, and I would just charge them our cost and make up the money on the back end with the extra copies. But we would have a really strong history of variant covers. I think the idea of paying extra money and just dropping the variant cover on the shelf is, pissing money away.
I don't mean the shelf, but I mean like popping it in as a surprise for some of the better subscribers.
I think you could do that depending on if for A, some of the better subscribers, and B, if it's someone who's into that.
Yeah.
Like Pat Gruber, you know, he orders, you know, this many of whatever, and you know he's really excited about Uncanny Avengers number one. Yeah, drop him one of the variant covers. He'd be happy about that. Now, a customer like me, you give me a variant cover, I'd go, oh, okay, whatever. I don't care. I've never been big on variant covers. I care about what's inside. Although I want the Jackson cover on Star Wars.
Yeah.
looking at the X-Men stuff, other than the Wolverines, I don't see anything here that's going to blow up. Spider-Man and X-Men really smells like a bomb to me. It's, oh, Wolverine's dead, so Spider-Man's going to be a teacher at the X-Men Academy. Really? 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 Yeah, that's a 12 issue and done. Let's see, Magneto, Cyclops, Nightcrawler, Storm, all are already in cancellation sales territory. X-Factor's canceled.
Yeah, that would actually X-Men done with that
is
month.
Near, is getting near the end sales-wise. In a way, X-Men, I don't know why they're putting out so many, because the ones that are selling are the Bendis books, Uncanny X-Men and All New X-Men. The rest just kind of, they aren't doing well. But, however, the next family of books, Spider-Man, they're expanding that for Spider-Verse, and all of those are doing well on the charts. I'm seeing a lot of people talk about it. Spider-Man is one of those books that, you know, what usually happens is a book comes out, number one, they lose about 30 to 50% for number two. They lose another 20% for number three. And by issue six, you know about how it's going to sell. Spider-Man is trending back upward. So I would go big on the Spider-Verse books. The other family that's next, Ultimate Marvel, Well, that's the last issue of All New Ultimates. Ultimate Spider-Man's a book I like, but nobody's buying it anymore.
They should have just killed it.
I think so. Well, I think Jeff Loeb killed it. I think when he did that ultimatum story, they have not regained sales momentum since that. I think that should have, if they were going to do that story, that should have been the end of the Ultimate Universe. And then they got people interested when Galactus came in again. And then after that story, sales have dropped further. I keep hearing rumors that it's going to wrap up and Miles Morales is coming to the Marvel Universe. But, yeah, we don't know.
Well, that could be all part of the Star Wars thing coming, or Secret Wars.
You know? Yeah.
Because even this month, it's like in 4 months' time run out. I would have a display of the Avenger books, just 4 months, and I would have four blank spots for the next 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
And then a big, by now I think there was a Secret Wars poster. I would have that there. Just, I mean, if they're going to have fun with it, let's have some fun with it. And again, there was a big, poster that was released, and I'm calling it up online here, that had a battle world for Secret Wars. And
yeah, I've seen that.
The battle world is, there's several classified things, but you have Manhattan. You have Manhattan Earth 616. You have Manhattan under next to it, which is 1610. It's kind of like divided. And then underneath you have Monster Metropolis. And I mean, I just have everything leaning towards it. Because they made it sound like everything's coming up to it. Everything that's been going on in Avengers, X-Men, Ultimate, or Uncanny Avengers. So, I mean, again, I would have the Secret Wars Battle World map, because it even says first issue on sale May 2015. And I would just have three blank months, and this is the current month. And just, you know, we're counting down for it, and we're just getting ready for, I mean, geez, Star Wars, Secret Wars, we're having all sorts of wars here. It's fun.
Except for the poor people who have to fight in these wars.
Well, it's their own fault,
I suppose.
Now,
back to your question about Ant-Man.
Well, and Squirrel Girl.
And Squirrel Girl. I would go about 15 to 20 above the orders we got in.
That's always weird, too, because a lot of people bet heavy on the Marvel ones now. Everybody seems to be wanting to jump in on them, whether they like them or not, as we saw in She-Hulk. You know, at least Marvel's trying. That's half the battle. So, and plus a lot of things, too. If they don't sell very well, we'll have a good idea by the third issue, and maybe by then we can wrap up, do a couple sets, you know, try to blow things out at cost, you know. We'll sell them one way or another.
The other one I have a note on in that little bunch is Uncanny Avengers number one. Now, one thing I found out, I did not know this till just this week. The Axis miniseries, that was actually going to be the next arc in Uncanny Avengers. But Marvel was so excited about it, they made it a separate miniseries. And now, another Uncanny Avengers number one. I would say that if Axis sold really well, Uncanny Avengers number one is going to sell well. But if people by issue five or six of Axis are going, man, this is worse than Siege, I wouldn't order a whole lot.
Yeah.
I would just order 10 to 12 above what people order.
Well, at the end of Marvel, have my fun stuff again. And Diamond Select has a bunch of Marvel things. They've got the Marvel Avengers logo silicon tray as well as the Deadpool silicon tray. Oh, you know we're going to order a couple of those.
You forgot a few books, though.
I forgot a lot of books.
I wanted to highlight.
What do you want to highlight?
I want to highlight Rocket Raccoon Premiere. I would go big on that because that is one that's going to sell very well over time. As people who are, I think it's going to be to people who don't come into shops very often. They're going to go, oh, wow, Rocket Raccoon, I liked him in the movie. You have the Avengers Vibranium Collection slipcase, a $250 book. I would order one above whatever people order, and if nobody orders any, I'd order two, because remember, we're the prestige shop. This would be one of those things you'd have in the back, in the glass case. Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Aja Omnibus. I don't care what people order. Whatever they order, I'm ordering five more. Because this is a book that next year will be a $300 book. This is one where people are going to want it over time, but they're, oh, I'll just wait and buy it later. Well, it's going to sell out because on the omnibuses, they kind of only print to order and maybe a little more. And then Fantastic Four Omnibus number 3, more Kirby. Two above whatever people order. Those were the big trades.
Well, I'd even have Dexter as part of that, just as part of the TV tie-in. Because that's the type of thing you're going to have somebody come in and, oh, they did a Dexter book? Maybe they'll pick it up if the art's good. I didn't even look at the comic. But you see, Corey, I didn't skip that because the toys are right before the books.
Oh.
So you prematurely ejected onto the books. Shame.
Actually, I'm looking at the order form and they're not in.
No, I'm actually in the Marvel previews itself.
Ah.
Because the only thing they've got other than the silicone ice trays were they have the Marvel Mini Mates, which by this time I'd probably have a good run of Mini Mates. I mean, we were picking up the Kubricks and selling quite a few of them when I sold Hot Comics, and Kubricks kind of went over to the Mini Mates. So, you know, you'd have different genre together, and here they've got X-Men versus Brotherhood assortment, and it's a two-pack. If it's sold, we'd be on them. If not, we probably wouldn't. But the toy of the month is a Carnage action figure, and Diamond Select always has a huge package for the toys. Plus, they also try to keep the other ones in stock. So, we have the toys in our shop, and each one would have its own peg. Maybe one or two because they tend to stay in stock and they're not, you know, usually if they don't buy them the first week, they're there. So we can always get them in. They usually will do a listing somewhere of which ones are available. Marvel also carries a couple posters, and we had posters in our shop where when Comic Archives went out of business, I got their poster display, and it was one of the classic ones where you had the big board and you'd click through them and you'd see the poster and it would correspond to the rack down below where the tubes are. So they got four posters this month. They got an Ant-Man, an Avengers Anti-Bullying, and the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yay!
And also an Inhumans 50th. And I, you know, looking at these posters, I'm kind of like, eh. I mean, maybe Squirrel Girl just because Adams did it. And usually the poster, I'd ordered one for display and four for underneath. And when I got to finally sell the display model, I'd put a sign up on it that said last one. So if somebody wanted it, we could take it down and sell it. So they did have a couple posters. I don't know, Corey, if you saw a poster that you liked or thought was interesting.
Squirrel Girl!
All right, we got Squirrel Girl.
I'm not big on posters, to be blunt.
But they sold.
Yeah.
And prints sold. I don't see many prints that they used to carry like when I had the shop. All right. So that is, as Corey mentioned earlier, probably 90% of the sales we're going to have for our little comic store. However, we still have 90% of the previews catalog to go through.
Well, believe it or not, kids, we're doing it again. That's right. We're splitting this episode in two. I think this is a good place to stop because we talked about Image. We talked about Marvel. And the rest of the episode, we talk about the rest of the previews book. No. That doesn't mean we go on for 4 hours about what's in the rest of previews. Because really, you know, we don't want to bore you that much. We just want to bore you a little. So, as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe's not around because I'm splitting the episode, but somebody call his mama and hit his music. Buck is on a roll.